Okay, GMS. Are you ready? Good. Please close the door, back. Okay, can start.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. The department once again appreciates the opportunity to appear before this committee to present its annual report for the 2012-2013 financial year. While presenting this annual report at a time when the mining industry is facing unprecedented challenges since the dawn of the democratic dispensation, this includes protected tough global economic environment as well as challenges relating to industrial relations. Notwithstanding the challenges faced by the industry as a result of the global financial crisis, the industry still remains the mainstay of South African economy. It continues to contribute significantly towards the economic development of the country. The transformation of the industry through the introduction of a progressive legislative framework, more particularly the Mineral and Petroleum Resources Development Act and the Mine Health and Safety Act, has resulted in the industry experiencing significant growth and improved health and safety environment. The following milestones were achieved. Mining contribution to GDP grew from 196 billion in 2009 to 262 billion in 2012, representing a percentage basis increase from 9% to 9.3%. Employment in the sector increased from 492,000 in 2009 to 524,000 in 2012. The transformation of the industry has resulted in increased employment of women in the industry. The number of women employed in the industry almost doubled from 24,600 in 2007 to 48,400 in 2012, representing about 9% of the workforce in the sector. The sector's contribution to the country's export earnings basket increased from 176.8 billion in 2009 to 269.1 billion in 2012. The fixed capital formation also grew from 64.1 billion in 2009 to 24.5 billion in 2012. Social and development plan projects were implemented, and the department has been facilitating the implementation of some 100 projects per annum relating to social and labor plan. On mine health and safety, there's been a reduction in fatalities from 172 in 2008 to 112 during 2012. This is largely attributed to the intensified enforcement measures the department has put in place. The number of mines has also increased from 993 in 2004 when the MPDA was implemented to 1,550 in 2009, and to about 1,579, that is plus minus 1,600 in 2012. The platinum group metal sector remained the largest employer, contributing 38% to the total mining industry's labor force, followed by the gold and coal sectors at 28% and 15% respectively. We are confident about the future of the mining industry, and in South Africa specifically. The global economic growth outlook represents a significant upward potential, with the USA and the European economies emerging out of the crisis, while the new engines of global economic growth that the developing countries are expected to experience economic growth. Given the inherent cyclical nature of the industry, we anticipate that a better economic environment is imminent. These signals provide us with a positive outlook of the South African mining industry, especially in respect of the platinum sector, which has been experiencing depressed prices for some time. The anticipated improvements will contribute towards the acceleration of inclusive growth of the industry and job creation consistent with the objectives of the National Development Plan. The investment community is one of the key stakeholders in the development of the mining and petroleum sector in South Africa. Accordingly, the minister continuously engages with national and international investors to promote the industry. With regards to financial performance of and non-financial performance of the department, we achieved 79% of the target set for the year under review, which is an improvement from the previous year's 72%. We continue to start to ensure that we ultimately achieve our planned target. In terms of expenditure, the department has spent 1.17 billion of, or 99.4% of the allocated budget of 1.176 billion for the 2012-2013 financial year. The department has developed an action plan to address issues that were raised by the Auditor General, and these issues were discussed earlier with the honorable members. Stated earlier, the plan was presented to the department's audit committee and is currently being implemented. The implementation will be audited by the internal auditors of the department. But as we can assure you, honorable members, that we will push for a clean audit. And this is achievable. The Auditor General has indicated that we are one of the few departments who can achieve this in the coming year. And I'm sure with the plans which we have put in place, we can achieve that. We have also initiated a process to align the capacity of the department to match the significant growth in the industry. This will also assist the department in its drive to increase its monitoring to, in respect of compliance and enforce legal provisions where necessary. In line with the recommendation, we will have a dedicated monitoring inspection team overseeing this process. This is part of the plans which we are looking at. They are still being discussed with the minister at this stage. Today's presentation will cover the following. Look at the vision, the mission of the department, look at the annual financial statement, and then branch performances of individual branches. The vision of the department is captured as shown there. We had a short-term vision of 2014, which states that it's a globally competitive, sustainable, and meaningfully transformed mining and mineral sector. And then we have the vision 2015. I can state here that we have re-looked at this vision. We are going to align our vision with the NDP. In our strategic session, we have engaged on this matter. But the current one, in terms of the year which we are reporting on, is vision 2015. We state a leader in the transformation of South Africa's economic growth and sustainable development by 2050. The mission captures, you know, the mandate of the department, and basically is to promote and regulate the mineral and mining industry. And what is important is we need to ensure that the industry is transformed. And figures which I stated earlier have indicated that, you know, in terms of this mandate, we are achieving some of the issues which are critical in transforming the mining industry. 2025. The annual financial statement. Okay. The overall financial performance of the department, I stated it earlier on that the budget for the department was 1.176 billion for the 2012-2013 financial year, of which 1.173 billion or 99.4 was spent. 395 million or 99.6% of the compensation of the employees budget was also spent. 228 million or 99.9% of the allocated goods and services budget was spent. And when it comes to transfers to entities, it was 525 million rand, and this money was spent according to the purpose which was intended to. 24.556 million was allocated towards capital assets and was fully spent. Since 2010-2011, the amount not spent has been consistently below 1% of the variance leads to vacancies at the year end. I will allow the CFO to take over.
Thanks, Chairperson. Honourable Member, good afternoon, good morning. As Vijay has already indicated, the full amount that was allocated to the department was spent with a variance that's less than 1%. And if we look at the different programs, with the administration program, which includes the Office of the CFO and Corporate Services, the budget was fully spent. And with the mine health and safety, 99% of the budget was spent. With mineral regulations and mineral policy and promotions, almost 99% of the budget was spent. And with mineral policy and promotion, the full amount that is there is not only in relation to the department, it includes money that are transferred to the entities. In relation to financial performance, the economic classification, the compensation budget was slightly not spent. The difference that is there is in relation to the vacancies, but otherwise 99% of it was spent. The goods and services budget was also fully spent with the transfer and subsidies and the capital asset spent. Now, in relation to economic classification, the department has got spending plans that are aligned to the targets that are set for the department, and those are monitored on a quarterly basis. Hence, the department managed to achieve 99% of their expenditure. In relation to compensation of employees, Chairperson, you realize that there's no the increase for staff cost from 2012 is only 8.6%, which represents also an average increase of 10% from the original baseline of 2011 of 326.5%. So there's no major injection on the compensation of employees' budget where capacity needs to be put in place. The main reasons are mainly salary adjustment increases. So there will be a need for us to continuously engage with National Treasury and make sure that we get adequate funding. In relation to the goods and services, Chairperson, you realize that the expenditure has increased from 200 million in 2010-2011 to 227.9 million in 2012-2018, an increase average of around 6.7%, which is inflationary adjustment. You will also notice, Chairperson, that there's a slight increase in the travel cost in relation to goods and services from 2011-2012. And this is mainly due to the focused attention to increased compliance inspections in the mine, which is along all the provinces. In relation to transfer payments to entities, we have transferred 454.2 million, which was in line with the Establishing Act of the entities. Around 80.3 million of it was on research to prevent ingress on water into underground, and 50 million was for mine rehabilitation. And all these projects were undertaken during the year under review. When programs report, you'll notice that some of the projects that has been done within this allocation. In relation to the financial statement, financial position of the department, the current assets, they've gone down by 46%, and the current liabilities has also gone down by 50.94%. I'll explain more the movements from the balance sheet side. From the asset base, which decreased from 46.44% from 2012 financial year, this is mainly attributable to the decrease in the bank balance at year end. Because we are on cash, it means that at year end we've used all the money that has been allocated to us. In relation to the decrease in liabilities, also this is a representation that we have improved in managing our cash flows, because the bank balances of activities that has not gone through the bank at year end has decreased from the previous financial year. Chairperson, this part we're going to talk about the action plans that we have put to respond to the Auditor General's issues. But now we have already discussed it. We will need guidance from you whether we need to go back again into the details of the Auditor General report.
Member? It's fine. They covered in detail and I think we allowed them to engage as well.
Yes. Then the next question is...
We can go to slide?
Slide number 20.
Slide 20?
Yes. Overview of performance information.
Okay.
Chapter, the activities of the department are organized in the following four programs. Number one is the administration. Number two, promotion of mine health and safety, which is run by the inspectorate. Number three is mineral regulation. Number four is mineral policy and promotion. The achievement challenges and corrective measures are outlined from page 13 to 68 of the annual report. We'll then start with program one, which will relate to financial administration branch. CFO will take us through that one.
Thank you, Chairperson. The annual report of the annual performance plan of the department was presented, and in terms of the financial administration branch, the purpose is to provide strategic and administrative support services to the ministry and department. We have picked up key achievements areas that we can report on. In terms of the improvement of service delivery and turnaround times for processing transactions, we had put in place a customer satisfaction survey index to determine the level of satisfaction by our internal stakeholders. And in this regard, we have achieved a 3.35 of the customer relation index out of 5. 72 defined turnaround time targets.
Sorry, just hang on.
Were achieved.
The minute there's something I can't hear, then unfortunately. Can you just briefly explain to us about how the index works? And if you are talking of percentages or something else or a rating, just for everybody to understand properly.
The index had identified key areas that the branch financial services must support the programs with, including the turnaround times in terms of responding to queries received by the department. We had a system where we can log on queries in relation to financial management, in relation to the help desk. We had an IT help desk in support of programs. So then we identified the stakeholders, which are the key management committees of the department, to say on a monthly basis, on a daily basis, you can log on your query and we'll respond within a specific time period. And this was on a scale of 1 to 5. And then we send out that index for customer satisfaction survey. So for that, in relation to that achievement, we have achieved a 5. Like things like processing an invoice, or issuing a purchase order, we'll say we strive to issue a purchase order within 3 days. And then our customers must rate us on whether we are improving in terms of those processes. We also had defined turnaround times. So these kind of activities will respond within so many days, and 72 of those defined turnaround times were achieved. In relation to providing reliable and timely information, we had a calendar that says these are all the reports that are needed in a particular financial year. So in case of the oversight reports, we'll say on a quarterly basis we must submit the oversight report to the portfolio committee, and we made sure that all those reports that have been defined are submitted within the prescribed time frame, including compliance reports that are required in terms of the PRMA. Then we had also an outcome of educating and empowering our stakeholders, and this helped us to improve the level of non-compliance with laws and regulations. We still have challenges in that area because we still had irregular expenditure incurred during the year under review. Our target is to have zero tolerance to irregular expenditure, and therefore we consider it as a challenge that we want to continue to improve on. In relation to the payment of invoices in 30 days, we are targeting to have invoices paid within 30 days, 100% compliance. we at the year under during the year under review we're at 94.97%, and we will continue to empower our stakeholders to make sure that they understand processes, they understand all the documents that need to be provided to make sure that we comply. In relation to filling of vacancies, as AG has presented, we had challenges there of posts that are still vacant, and one of it is the one that I'm occupying that is now filled, and we plan to fill the remainder of the posts within the financial management unit. And in the corrective measures that were put in place, it again to say we'll continue to raise awareness on the internal control processes to improve compliance with laws and regulations, and make sure that sanctions are being imposed on transgression with all the processes and all the vacant posts we plan to fill in with seat. The next program is corporate support.
Yes, I will ask DDG Corporate Services to take us through that one.
Thank you, Honourable Members. The purpose of Corporate Services Branch is to provide strategic and administrative support services to the Ministry and the Department. Let's go to the next slide. Our achievement for last year was that we communicated DMR programs and policies very clearly through our website and internet, which was updated on time, and unlike before, we had current issues and current programs that were posted on the website and the intranet. We successfully held media briefings, public participation engagements, and positive and balanced newsletters that were published and broadcast. We also had our communication strategy approved by the minister, which was outstanding for quite some time. In terms of skills development, we had 16 mining career awareness initiatives that were held for communities, as well as career awareness initiatives that were held at universities. If you remember, for communities, they would have been held by our special programs division, and the HRD directorate would have held those awareness initiatives at the universities. We had 58 bursaries offered in 2011-12 to study towards mining-related qualifications, which were sustained during the reporting period. The initial target there was 60, but then we had two drop outs. Now we're left with only 58 bursars. another achievement was the development and review of our internal processes, guidelines, and policies. We've had 17 policies reviewed, and we also managed to map 19 business processes. More on achievements. We have ensured compliance with HR legislation. Our financial disclosures were submitted within the prescribed time frame. The next one, we've also ensured implementation of the National IT Strategy, where all new employees were screened, as well as service providers, and the target rating was also exceeded. Well, much as we have all those achievements, we still continue to have some challenges with regards to our skills development. Prospective bursary holders were turned down by prospective funders because, among other things, they did not meet the entrance requirements. These are bursaries that we apply for from the mining companies, for instance, where we try to develop our skills through their bursaries. And also, we have a problem also of attracting and developing and mainly retaining skills. There was a percentage reduction in staff turnover. Targets were not achieved due to retirements, transfers, and promotions to other departments and organizations. This is a reduction that we clearly have no control over whatsoever, with people retiring, and in some instances, maybe even deaths. Although they're very minimal, we don't have that many deaths in the department. Again, as I said, our inability to retain and attract inspectors has been a very long, outstanding issue. We're losing our trained inspectors to the private sector, and mine health and safety has been a pain trying to fill those posts, and we've tried very hard to assist them, but it's just an enough task. We're trying to ensure compliance with HR legislation. We have a challenge there. Our financial disclosures submitted within fiscal time frames. Go to the next one. In fact, it wasn't the financial disclosures. It was the performance agreements that we did not meet within the prescribed time frames. And we striving for 100% submission this year. Last year, I think we had three that we did not manage to submit on time. Corrective measures, trying to attract, develop, and retain skills. We are currently analyzing the review of the department retention strategy in order to deal with the high turnover rate. It's currently at the bargaining council. There, we actually are trying to manage our talent, identify people with high talent for the department, and that's the main thrust of the current retention strategy. The department has also embarked on a learner inspector program where 50 graduates will be placed at different mines and undergo experiential training, which will result in fully qualified inspectors. We also try to contribute to skills development by increasing awareness in relation to processes to be followed by bursary applicants. As I mentioned earlier, one of the reasons why some bursaries were not attained was due to lack of following proper processes. Our improved turnaround times, our deadlines, the department will strive hard to meet deadlines of submission of performance agreements and financial disclosure forms. We will also try to improve turnaround times in filling vacant posts, which is the legislated 6 months. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members. We move on to Mine Health and Safety Inspector. The Chief Inspector of Mines will present this section.
Thank you, honorable Chairperson and honorable members. Our purpose is to execute the department's mandate to safeguard the health and safety of mine employees and people affected by mining activities. And the objective, we strive toward the safe health and safety mining industry. This is achieved by reducing mine-related deaths, injuries, ill health, through the combination of national policy and legislation, the provision of advice, and the application of systems that monitor and enforce compliance with the law in the mining sector. In terms of the key achievements strategic objective, that is promote health and safety, there has been a 9% improvement in all fatalities from 123 in 2011 to 112 in 2012, which is the lowest fatalities ever reported. Secondly, the platinum and coal sectors have, for the first time in 2 years, recorded a reduction in fatalities of 24% and 8% respectively. There has also been a 35% reduction in all of ground fatalities from 14 in 2011 to 26 in 2012. The coal sector went for the first time ever for more than 12 months without a fall of ground fatality. And next, the transport and mining fatalities decreased by 24% from 38 in 2011 to 29 during 2012. And there's a 7% reduction in occupational disease reported by the mines. The audits and inspections were exceeded by 6% and 8% respectively. In terms of the next strategic objective, develop and review internal processes, we review the South African Mines Reportable Accidents Statistical System Codebook, which is the SAMRA codebook. This is really the database that we use. SAMRA is the database that we use on accident. And a guideline for mining within 100 meters of structures and buildings was also reviewed to protect those structures and buildings. And secondly, we developed the conveyor belt guideline and fatal ruling procedure. On the human resource development objective, there were 14 assistant inspectors who are undergoing inspector training at our various regional offices. Some of them have achieved their mine manager certificates and government certificates of competency. Also, there are 5 learner inspectors who have been recruited as bursary holders and have been placed at the mine for experiential training. And lastly, on the slide, 71 officials attended technical and administrative courses. And if I can also to refer the honourable members to the slides on the screen itself, because I'd like to show on the screen itself, if possible. If you can refer to the screen itself, it shows the annual metal reports. This is the report that is submitted by the mine on an annual basis on the special diseases. And the slide shows between 2010 and 2012. If you look at the diseases that are generally being reported, it's silicosis. PTB is pulmonary TB, which mainly is caused by some kind of exposure to dust, and sometimes HIV and AIDS, and living conditions. Noise-induced hearing loss is NIHL. PN is pneumoconiosis, and mainly cold weather pneumoconiosis, asbestosis. SITB is silico TB, and there's also other TBs. But if you look at the cases that have been reported between 2010 and 2011, for instance, 2010, there's been 1,742 silicosis cases reported. In 2012, there's been 1,420 cases that have been reported, which is about a 322 reduction over that period. Similarly with TB, in 2010, there's been 4,452 reported. 2012, there's been 2,838 reported, which is a reduction of about 1,614 cases, and so forth. But in total, on the far right, you can then see the cases reported in 2010 is 8,170. In 2012, it's 6,002, which is about a 2,166 reduction. Although there's been reduction in terms of other diseases, we are also still concerned with the cases. Next slide. This slide shows the total accidents. That is the fatality and injury rate per million hours worked between 2003 and 2000, at the end of September this year. The line in green shows the fatality rate, and the one in red shows the injury rate. Now, if you look at the far left, January 2003, the fatality rate at that time was 0.34. At the end of September this year, it has dropped to 0.09, which is about a 74% reduction over that period in terms of the fatality rate. And the injury rate in 2003, January, it was 5.26. To the end of September, it's 2.49, which is about a 53% reduction over that period. I think those figures of 0.09 for fatality for shift and 2.49 for injury rate. Injury rates are the lowest ever that have been recorded in the mining sector. This slide shows the fatalities reported by commodity. If you compare from January 2011 to the end of 2012, December 2012, for instance, the coal sector, reported 51 fatalities. 2011 and 2012, 53, which was a regression of about 4%. In the platinum sector, 37 in 2011 and 28 in 2012, which is a 28% improvement. The coal sector had an 8% improvement. The other sectors had an 18% improvement. And overall, there was a 9% improvement, as I indicated. And if you look at the current figures, although for the previous slide, you could clearly see that the gold sector has regressed, but this year it's encouraging to see that the gold sector has had a 22% improvement in terms of fatalities, the platinum sector 5%, the coal sector 38%, the other sector 9%, the total is about 40% overall. I think what is also encouraging is that for the first time in almost three years, we are seeing double digits improvement. In terms overall, I think it's encouraging. It clearly shows that measures that are being put are having an impact. Similarly with injuries for the current figures as well, gold sector, there's a 34% improvement, the platinum sector 4%, the coal sector 12%, the other 27%, the total is 20%. I think we're also seeing some double-digit improvement there as well. However, though there's been significant improvement or some notable improvement that I've indicated, still having challenges on occupational safety. As the figures indicated, there's still a lot of life. We are greatly concerned about it. We are putting measures as a department and together with the stakeholders to further improve on that. Similarly with occupational health, there's still high diseases being reported. We still have skills development challenges in the sector. We're working together with the MQA to deal with that. And lastly, on the slide, illegal mining, it is a challenge mainly in the Gauteng area, Roodepoort and the East Rand, and partly in the Free State. It's a challenge as well in the Northern Cape and also the Barberton area in Mpumalanga, but they're putting measures to deal with it. In terms of the corrective measures that we have taken, we will continue to take, first of all, we continue monitoring compliance and when necessary implement the measures in terms of the law to ensure compliance. And secondly, we encourage mines to implement measures to protect women's safety and security. Because we are also, SDG has indicated as well, there's been a significant improvement as well in terms of women in the sector. So we are concerned with the safety of women, and we are encouraging mines to put measures. We are also working for the Mine Health and Safety Council to do research, as indicated the last time when we came here, on what we're trying to do to have significant improvement on that. We also arrange regional quarterly tripartite forum meetings to share on health and safety information. And we continue to monitor the implementation of the 2011 summit commitments on elimination of fatalities and injuries through the Mine Health and Safety Council. And lastly, on the slide, we are encouraged mine to be more vigilant during the fourth quarter of the calendar. In other words, between October and December. That's when we experience significant number of fatalities and accidents. So, We have increased mines to be more vigilant during this period of the year. In terms of health, we implement our strategy for enhancing the health of workers, including on TB, HIV and AIDS, and non-communicable diseases. Non-communicable diseases are diseases like hypertension and partly diabetes and epilepsy and somehow cancer as well. Although most of them are not occupational, but we have encouraged the mines putting in place measures to improve, especially there's been some incidents where people have been reported collapsing underground because of it. So we're encouraging mines to look at that. We also collaborate with our social partners through the Cancer Associated to work on the summit commitment on eliminating sclerosis and non-sclerosis hearing loss. And lastly on the slide, we conduct verification of mine sampling on dust measurements and results. On the skills development, we collaborate with the MQA, as I've indicated, to enhance skills development, including on ABET. ABET relates to so that there must be progression of the workers at the coal phase. And batteries, we issue batteries. Our target is we issue 750. Last year, we issued about 1,000. An artisan program, an artisan aid program in terms of national strategy that has been introduced by the Minister on Monday. And also on jewelry making to support our beneficiation strategy. And lastly, we implement the certificate of competency examination model to improve on the issue of government of competence. On illegal mining, the minister has established stakeholder forums, and they continue to implement the measures to combat the illegal mining activities in the respective provinces. Secondly, the minister convened stakeholder meetings and site visits to draw the public's attention to the extent of illegal mining activities in the Roodepoort area and ensure that measures are implemented to ultimately eliminate this illicit activities. This happened on the 10th of July. There was a follow-up visit about 2 weeks ago, and there's been a significant improvement of demolition of the gem tables or where they wash their tables, the use of municipality water, and demolishing the areas so there is some improvement, but we're still working on that to make sure that we have better improvement. We collaborate with relevant law enforcement as well agencies to ensure that there is a national effort to combat illegal activity. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Members and Honourable Chair. The next presentation will be given by Mineral Regulation Branch and the DGG responsible will present.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. The purpose of the program, that is Program 3 Mineral Regulation, is to regulate the mineral and mining sector to ensure economic development, employment and ensure transformation and environmental compliance with an objective of ensuring transformation of the mineral and mining sector into what that competitively contributes to the sustainable development of the country. Next slide. in terms of highlighting some of the key achievements linked to our strategic objectives around job creation, we implemented 41 SME development projects that are part of the SLPs of Operating Minds against our target of 40. We further implemented as a measure 94 local economic development projects that contribute towards job creation against our target of 50, as I indicated in the annual report. With regard to the objective of implementing transformation policies and legislation, the department continued with various consultations and engagements with communities and held a number of industry workshops, totaling 145 against a target of 59. And around the objective of monitoring and enforcing compliance, conducted a combined 2,595 different types of inspections. This would cover your SLP-related inspections, mine environmental management, as well as the broader legal compliance. I give the target of 2,150. Now, in respect of some of our key challenges, one of them relates to the need for us to continue to increase capacity, both human and the other resources, to enforce compliance at all mines, including other including other holders of rights. The other challenge that we want to highlight is the one referred earlier on by the DB around the global economic challenges and the industrial race challenges that have an impact on the projected job creation. And the other challenge I wanted to also highlight is the few applications that we often receive as part of advancing transformation from historically disadvantaged control entities who will be your applicants, partly as a result of challenges around barriers of funding and so on and so forth, which have an impact on advancing transformation. Next slide. As some of our corrective measures, the need for us to strengthen capacity at the regional offices, which are the core phase of service delivery, in a number of areas, and disciplines such as social and labor plans, because at the moment the current kind of capacity that we do have doesn't enable us to be able to adequately match the growth of industry, areas of mine economies, because MPRD is structured around mine economies model, which internalize the cost of running and operating mine, transformation components, including overall monitoring and evaluation units. The second corrective measure that we have then highlighted and put in place is the need for us to develop further our SAMRAD system, improve its efficiency. And the third one is the need to increase the rate of enforcement compliance, inspections, and impose statutory notices where companies are found to be non-compliant. And the other one is around creating the capacity, also in anticipation, to implement an integrated licensing system in respect of mining, environment, and water authorizations to improve the ease of doing business in South Africa.
Thank you. Thank you. The last but not least presentation will come from Mineral Policy and Promotion.
Thank you, DG. Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. The Mineral Policy and Promotion Program 4 of the Department has a purpose of formulating mineral-related policies and to promote investment in the mining and minerals industry of South Africa to make it an attractive and investor-friendly environment. Our objective is to achieve this through research to provide relevant information that will enhance and continue to enhance our global competitiveness, the research that informs the basis on which we review our policies and formulate legislation in order to achieve transformation and to attract new investment into the South African mining industry. Next slide.
Sorry, sometimes we have to do this. Bongi, please request the member to return. I think we agreed about 2 o'clock. Just tell a bit.
Oh, thank you. In this slide, we summarize some of our key achievements under the year of reporting. As part of enhancing and strengthening our regulatory framework, we drafted the MPRDA Amendment Bill, as well as the Mine Health and Safety Bill, and received certification from the state law advisors during the final the financial report we are presenting before you. As part of promoting investment in the mining sector, we have established both strategic and technical partnerships and also implemented these. With strategic partnerships, for instance, we entered into a memorandum of understanding on the development of platinum group metals with the Russian Federation. We served as deputy chair of the Kimberley Process Certification Scheme last year. And as part of our regional integration program, we chaired the Association of Diamond Producers of Africa, ATPA, and it is a structure that we continue to serve in. It is a structure of diamond producing countries in the continent. Examples of technical partnerships, we have a technical partnership with the Raw Materials Group, the Swedish-based competent structure. Locally, we have a relationship, for example, with the Bureau of Economic Research. These are just a few examples of the strategic and technical partnerships. We continued on our promotional activities in the branch, such as publications, conferences, and so on. Perhaps key, which is linked to providing an enhancing regulatory framework, we had identified in 2010 that the absence of streamlined licensing processes for mining creates problem for growth of the industry. And in the process of drafting the bill, we worked together with the Departments of Environment and Water Affairs to work towards a streamlined licensing process, which was presented before this the joint committee earlier this year. We established the Platinum Task Team under the auspices of MIGDET in June last year in order to jointly respond to the challenges that are facing the sector. And we undertook a policy impact study for the investment in mining, which is part of the research, an example of the research that we undertake. Next slide. In terms of promotion of sustainable resource use and management, we rehabilitated 13 derelict and ownerless mine sites last year. We completed the strategy for management of mine residue deposits that was approved internally. We completed the construction of the Florida Lake Canal in Johannesburg. And this is in dealing with the ingress control for acid mine drainage. There are millions of liters of surface water that no longer go into the old mine sites because of this canal that was constructed and concluded last year. And this is an example of the outcomes of the research programs to prevent water ingress that the CFO indicated in her financial presentation earlier. Next slide. One of the key challenges that we continue to face is the attraction and retention of skills. You would have noticed, honorable members, it's a common challenge that we have. And as a corrective measure, we work with our corporate services, DDG, and where possible with industry to introduce these innovative skills development programs, and also to seek to attract relevant categories of skills. Thank you very much.
Honorable members, honorable chairperson, in concluding, the department will, in respect of the issues which raised by the Auditor General, continue to implement action plan which I earlier talked about that we did, discuss it with the audit committee, and ensure that it's effectively implemented. In addition to the programs that have been highlighted, there are other projects that the department is involved in to pursue government and national objectives. These projects include, first one is in fact the whole issue around the stability of the mining industry. We participate in a number of initiatives. The minister in fact had another initiative whereby we eventually signed a peace and stability framework with stakeholders, and we're also engaged with the process which is led by the Deputy President with regards to the framework for sustainable mining industry. We also support the presidential package in respect of improving housing and living conditions of mine workers and improving socio-economic conditions around mining communities. Our staff participate in some of the committees. Mining Kahoda in Mpumalanga was held to enhance coordination with regards to social and labor plan implementation, which is very, very critical, because if there is no coordination, especially with municipalities, there will always be challenges in terms of implementing the social and labor plan. There are other projects which were critical, especially for the economy of this country. I mean, the shale gas project, which has been identified as a game changer for this country. The department has been working hard on the project. We compiled a report and we released a report which assessed the whole issue of the CISC and looking at its potential, looking at the environmental risk. That report has been published is on the website of the department. And following that report, having had requested that we further on look at the regulation and enhance the regulations regarding a shale gas. You might be aware, members, last week the document was presented by the minister in cabinet, and it was released, it was approved by cabinet. It will be published this week. It is already published today. That is the augmented regulation for shale gas, a very important project for this country, because we definitely believe that it will change the economic environment of South Africa. Coal resources and reserve study, we have completed that study, also a very important report. We will be taking it to cabinet. The report is complete. They have assessed the resources of South Africa when it comes to coal resources and reserves. South Africa, as the DDG earlier said, earlier on, is engaged in a process called the Kimberley process. The previous year, we were the vice chairperson. The current year, we are chairing that process. And there's also another important process which is underway, the International Geological Congress, which will be held in 2016. We assist with it. The Council for Geoscience is driving it. We are giving it support. The minister is involved. She even went to Australia to actually receive the baton that is receiving the baton that is now they are now allowing South Africa to prepare for this congress. It's actually sometime called the World Cup of Geology, which will be coming to South Africa in 2016. The department would like to thank honorable members for bringing to our attention issues as raised during oversight visits, and would like to assure members that this will continue to receive our priority. Some of these are in Richards Bay, Sikukini, Ohi, Smith Street, Dawu, illegal mining activities, and many others. And I thank you.
Impressive for the reason. It's the implementation we need to deal with. Members, I'm looking at the time. What's the time? It's 1 o'clock. Can we engage when we come back? At 1:30. Let's engage when we come back at 1:30. There's a thing at lunch there. Do you want to take any flight? Are you missing home? But it comes to the same, the members won't be able to leave because we're meeting after lunch if they agree. Comrade Musi. Yeah, we remain. So must we go to the questions now? I must miss the department as well because now to be voted in for next year. Honorable Lorim is listening attentively to your qualms. We've got new twins in the block here. It's Honorable Mohai and Honorable Mwipe. Okay, let's handle the questions according to the programs. It's 4 programs. I think the issues would be the issues of clarity or questions that we're going to engage in now. Let's ask them now. So that at least by 1:30 to 2:00 then we're having lunch break. And after that we continue. Honorable members. We continue at 2:00, okay? Just to conclude the proceedings. Conclusions are normally short to be said. Yes. Right, let's go through each of the areas according to programs. Let's go through them to take care of the areas. If you noted, they were presenting to us in terms of their programs. So I think also in terms of consolidating the work, it would be wise. I think we've done that before. We are used to the progress by now. And I think the areas of concern would mainly be around their challenges as well. Let's start with the overall, because it looks like Honorable Mohai's one is out of the world. Okay, let's hear that.
It falls under program of the HR. My comment is under theory. Well, first, Chair, it will be unfair if we do not acknowledge the report is really inspiring hope, as presented by the department. And I'm quite happy with what the DG started with. It really responded on issues that were raised by the LFC last week. Repositioning of the department in line of the vision statement that they put forward, and also a forecast for 2025, does really put issues into perspective. And the sustained intervention by government in responding to the current environment that is prevailing in the mining industry is worth to note at those areas. But the issue that is of concern to me is in areas where the department is losing technical skills in the area that they have pointed out. Because it's my view that this department is at the heart of the ongoing transformation agenda in the country. When you talk of capable developmental state, the technical ability of this department is very important, I think, Chair. So the issues when they say losing trained inspectors, obviously I know that South Africa's economic environment has got a very dominant private sector. Our economy, private sector is dominant. But we have got to be alive to the fact that the HR strategy of the country should really be, the department should be decisive in addressing those skills areas that requires attention. The last issue relates to the issue that was mentioned in the FFC it says that the revenue system of the department is not integrated with the other systems such as PAS. As a result, a lot of what could be in the fiscal, available for fiscal allocation is lost within the cracks because of the absence of systems. So I would like the department to comment on the issue that was raised by the FFC. Simply said that we could improve in our tax collection and reduce the fiscal strain that the country is faced with. How would the department comment on that matter? Thanks.
Honorable Kuno.
Thanks, Chairperson. The main challenge throughout the program of DMR is the staff turnover or the retention of skills and all that. Yes. So I just want to come up with a suggestion. You know, as we're growing up as blacks now, the only careers that you were exposed to were your teaching careers, being a nurse and all that. So there's need for career guidance at schools. And I hope that as you're thinking of the future to retain, to recruit more people into the department, you should look into getting into schools. Exposing scholars more into mining, getting mining, what is it, certification and all that, especially because you have bursaries that you are giving out. Because I think it will attract more people. So, for instance, you will tell them the requirements that you are seeking and all that. There are other entities that go to different communities, do road shows to tell people more about what they are doing and to recruit more people. And as you do that, there will be requirements and things that you will be saying, if I give you a bursary or I train you, you won't be able to leave the department within so many years and all that. There will be requirements. I'm just giving out suggestions so that we are able to retain the skills, and as we train people, we'll be able to keep them on board and all that. And you said that as part of your recruitment is going to through universities and communities. There's been a problem in South Africa as a whole. When they talk about community, they always look into, there's a triangle that they always look into, your Durban, Gauteng, and Western Cape. And they don't talk, when they talk about communities, they'll be looking into that. I don't want to generalize, but I just want to find out the communities that you talked about, that you're talking about, which communities? Are you talking about the communities where mining is? What communities are you talking about exactly? The regional offices that you are talking about, I just need to find, let me list that. I'll come back to that later on. On mine safety and health, there's a great improvement on occupational diseases and the reports, but do you have a prevention plan? Because you can have a decrease on how you on the report that you have, but you have a plan on making sure that we have better stories that we'll be telling next year. So that next year we don't tell us about the improvements and you're telling us that for the 324 fatalities that you had last year, this year we have 224 fatalities. So I just want to know that if you do have prevention plans, that's that one now, Chairperson. Thanks.
Honorable Lorim.
Are we asking order now or just by category? No problem. Okay. Well, not quite a lot.
Trying to make it easy for them, because I've noticed that they operate a program and they'll answer after lunch.
Wow, okay.
No, they can even answer now. It's not yet our first one.
Okay, well.
Yeah, we'll enter them now.
Okay, I'll start with a couple of general questions. You said, E.G., that you talk about roughly 2,500 jobs created in the industry. Could you give us some more information on that? Is that a net gain of jobs? How do you assess that? Does that include just mining companies, or does it include contractors as well? If you could just give me the breakdown of how you arrive at that. And then by programs, starting with program two, I guess. First of all, it just doesn't look like we're winning on safety inspectors. It's always a problem. You just can't get enough of them. And it sounds almost as if the department is shrugging its shoulders at this. What can we do? Surely we need some kind of big intervention on this, because otherwise we're not going to win. I'm not hearing that big intervention. On to illegal mining. You said it was concentrated now, it seemed to be concentrated in Gauteng. Does that mean that the problem in Mpumalanga and Free State is under control? So could you tell us something about that? I certainly have seen some action on this in the areas of Western Johannesburg and the West Rand that I look at. But it's in many places it's disappeared from sight. But has it stopped, or is it just, I don't want to say be driven underground, so it's driven out of sight? Okay, moving on, program three, I guess. I haven't found anywhere any indication of numbers of closure certificates issued. Is that somewhere in this report? Could you let me know? So in other words, there is growth, but our mine's closing as well. SAMRAD, I'd like some more on how that's working. There is a a note here about improving efficiency. Well, could you let us know what's still not working, what needs to be doing, and what do you think about it, and by when? Could you give us something on the time taken to adjudicate mining and prospecting licenses? What's the average time? Where are we sitting at the moment on that one? Oh, one more thing on mine safety. How many visits is an average inspection visit per year by mine? How many times can they expect to be visited by a safety inspector? And is it all of them, and is it unannounced always? If you can give us some background on that. And program four, I guess. We all know the big shortfall in funding for my rehabilitation of owner-less derelict mines. Is it only about money? What else is the constraint there in addressing more of these problems? Can I hold it there?
Honourable Ngele?
Yeah, and Kosi Chairperson. Adding to what the Ngele said, Comrade Kuno, what Honourable Kuno has just said about retaining skilled people, it looks like you are taking it very light. In some cases you train people and after they complete, they leave you. They are not sustainable. It is a serious matter, really. It looks like maybe it's either that you don't pay them, there is competition outside, or the working condition. But this is, you can't keep on training people and after that these people live. There's something that you know, I'm sure. And you are just taking it like you don't care. And secondly, yes, when I am happy though, because of the improvement, like on page 32, FOG, it moves from 40 to 26. But still, you are not serious on detecting the FOG. At some stage I thought, yes, we have won. We now know how to detect it. But I feel it is not enough. Yes, you have tried, but it is not enough. Let's just put some more vigor in it. And you haven't said anything about women. I don't know. They've just disappeared somewhere. We need to know about these women. What is the position? Because there have been talks in the years about their, you know what I mean, what was happening to women, from men to women. We need to know if the condition is still the same or there has been some improvement on them. And comparing gold mines, and you're just robbing me here, gold mines and coal mines. Coal mines are very shallow. Usually, there are very less fatalities. So I know what I've been doing, going down in gold mines and going down in coal mines. People don't even expect any fatalities in coal mines, because really it's like ground floor anyway. Thank you.
Honorable Kuno.
Thank you, Chairperson. I remember the two questions I wanted to ask. I just need to have an idea, Chairperson. How many mines do we have, and from the mines that we have in South Africa as a whole, if we say we have enough manpower in terms of inspectors, how many are those inspectors, and how many do we have currently? And the last program, there's a problem of funds, especially for the previously disadvantaged communities. What is your relations with IDC? Because I know that there are funds from IDC. Is there any way where it can help within the mine? Because, you know, it has always been my concern since I've came into this committee, that the transformation is really very slow because of the funding. And you find that, the rich people are staying in there, and, you know, it's difficult for anyone to penetrate into the system. So, for me, when you talk about transformation, it will be a good story, really, to have from a worker, from somebody who's a worker to become an entrepreneur. To me, that's a success story. And then how many success stories can we talk about in terms of transformation within the mining industry? And the illegal mining, you know, when we grew up, I'm from Zambia, Gosu State, we've heard about illegal mining. And I know that those people who are involved in illegal mining, it's difficult for government, for instance, or to do anything about it. But it shows you that those people, they know that there are minerals somewhere, and there are reasons. I'm not condoning illegal mining. Anything illegal is wrong, and anybody who's doing anything illegal should be going to jail or something. But the question that I'm having is that why can't we do this? There is a problem of unemployment in the country, and you find that there are a lot of miners. I'll talk about Welcome because I'm from Welcome, there are a lot of miners who have been retrenched, who are sitting at home doing nothing. They have experience. Is there any way where any program that we have within the department of bringing those people together with where you know that we have identified, I mean, it's illegal mining, there's something there. I know in Rodiport that there's gold, people are digging gold every day because there's gold somewhere, but there's nobody who's doing something to make sure that they regulate that gold in that particular place. I'm just saying, how do you help those communities with from the illegal mining to make it legal, to have any progress, especially from those people who have been retrenched from the mines? Do any programs within the department that we can say, you know, we have this program of changing those illegal miners to be legal and helping the former miners to be actually saying, you know, we are proud to be saying we have built the former miners who have been in, who are unemployed, we have built them to be, owners or something like that. Thanks, Chief.
Performing cooperatives. Honorable Lorimer.
Sorry, one more category of questions I forgot revolves around shale gas. Can you just take us through, just explain the process again? I know these regulations have just come out, and I've just been having a look at them. So can you tell us, just clarify for us, when is hydraulic fracturing going to begin in terms of the regulations that you've issued? What needs to happen? Along with, could you take us through each step of that process? What happens next? And then it's the second part of that is to do with oversight over shale gas drilling. Who's going to conduct the oversight on behalf of the department? And what training have they received?
I've got 67 questions. Small number, ne? 57. I'm only joking. You, under a cooperative program, cooperative services program, can you indicate to me the, I see that you say that your traveling costs have increased. I'm just worried that you might not have enough. But at the same time, we are the very people who are complaining about capacity. The traveling costs that you mentioned here, that they have increased from 2011-12, is it finance? Does this mean it's the regional structures that you have in yourself, or is it other issues that concern traveling costs? Are you relating these traveling costs to the issues of inspections that have to be done in the region? And in terms of figures, what are your cost implications? That's finance, ne? In as far as okay, I won't repeat the tax issue and royalties, but I think it would suffice for us to get an explanation as to your relationship with Treasury, for one, and with all the qualms that are becoming very significant, even in terms of us moving forward with the NPRDA. There does seem to be a concern in the system that is being used by Treasury when it comes to royalties and taxation systems. What is your relationship with Treasury? What are your areas that you have identified of concern, and how are you bridging that gap to ensure that at least at the end of the day, the beneficiary is the ordinary miner outside? Then when it comes to inspections and statutory notices that you have to impose to companies, if you can tip me, regulator, as to where can we see a significant possible change. I know we're discussing the NPRDA right now, but where we can identify a significant change. Because my worry of this whole process is that we keep on changing NPRDA, we review it, we do all these programs, these frameworks that come up and so on, but we refuse to come to a point where we feel that licensing processes and sanctions are actually favoring the HDSAs. they are coming to a point where it makes sense to some of us, and the ordinary citizen, they get a better understanding of processes. That could also then enhance us in assisting us in terms of when we do deal with the bill as to how we can best go about it. Now, there's an investigation that has been done in relation to the audit queries that we spoke about earlier on. Can you indicate to us if we can get a copy of that investigation outcome? And by when, or do you have an idea of if that is completed or not? Just for us to get a picture and a sense of what interventions do you have in relation to that? Because I think there's an investigation that you say has been completed in relation to your fruitless expenditure. I won't repeat the issue of vacancies. I'm just interested in knowing it's two people, yes, but out of the 60 buses that you're supposed to be giving, there's two who've fallen out. I'm just interested in knowing what happened. Just what happened there. Because it's also a way of you continuing to lose people. Then there's also an issue of you mentioning that buses were being turned down by funders. Now my question around that is, are your buses outside M2A? And you can't tell me that you are solely dependent on outside funders to ensure that you have people trained. In terms of your selection process, how do you go about your selection process? Because your selection process should be talking to your retention strategy as well, and ensuring that you have more people remaining in the department or being made use of locally. I'm worried about that as being a key issue, that funders are turning people down, but with so much money in the M2A, what is happening in augmenting and ensuring that you continue to have the correct pool of people to train? The retention strategy, if you could just indicate to us, when can we get a view of that, of a presentation on the retention strategy that you have? Because we repeatedly talk about these issues of the vacancy rate, posts being filled, you losing people, turnover being too high. How far is that retention strategy for us to be able to have a peek into it? I think the regulator should actually also take us to the process of the systems that you are putting into place and how best are they starting to align to your issue of licenses, such that we can see practically that the work is becoming much easier for an ordinary miner to apply for a license. Because the cry is that there are claims, we don't know to what extent, that you are not able to go online. But you go online and you find problems, then you've got nowhere else to go. You are also exposed to the fact that many areas, people still can't go online, you do things practically. And your relationship with Treasury, Treasury has an information management system, an integrated financial management system that is supposedly supposed to be talking to your boss, to your personal, and I don't know, whatever else, and your Sandra, I suppose. How coordinated is that work, and how effective, or how much reality can we get out of it to ensure that there's improved systems in departments to can be cost-saving for one? Because for now it seems like a very mammoth task which is costly. But you are not getting to a conclusion where you say, now we are moving in terms of a particular program and there's improvements in the way we are issuing our licenses. Can you get a better understanding of it? Mine health and safety, I take it that the graph that you have there, you are actually, I don't know if it's my eyesight, but under asbestosis, there's, in 2010 you had 29 cases, né? 2011 you had 11 cases, it goes back up in 2012 to 19 cases, but the graph, then maybe my eyesight is not right, the graph seems clean there. It's very much below. Okay. No, I've got a problem with my eyesight, so. But I'm just querying about that because I thought at some stage we were at a point of eradication. when it comes to this issue of asbestosis, and there was some communities that were complaining in terms of compensation that was not happening. I think I've handled mineral regulation. I'm still interested in a round figure costing when it comes to the handling of ownerless and derelict mines and AFDs. And what special program, if there is, or what areas of time frames that you have to have this perhaps resolved by a particular year or so. We don't get to hear that either. Or is the nature of the work perhaps such that it's a bit of a difficulty, but you should have a clear strategy that indicates to us that this is how much we're spending, this is how we intend decreasing the challenge, and we are moving at a rate of so many mines per year or whatever the case might be. There still isn't a clear picture about it, because if I look at the issue we're talking about in Roodepoort and the rivers that have been contaminated and polluted, I foresee many more rivers coming to join the groups of derelict and ownerless mines as well as polluted areas and water. And it's become so serious, I'm just afraid that our pace is too slow in taking care of the issues. It's a frightening scene, the Roodepoort issue. It's very frightening, and it's getting worse. We need to pick up pace and understand what is being done as a matter of urgency. And that's all part of illegal mining, which at the end of the day is having its own complications. I think that's the lot of questions. You want to handle them now after lunch? I'm giving you an option. I'm not talking to the members, I'm talking to GMR.
We can handle them now.
think there are constitutional matters there, but we will have in one way or another ensure that they work for the department for a for a time frame where we can actually make use of them. That is a very important one. Generally, also in terms of the skills in the industry, there's a program which the minister has launched of artisans, training artisans, working with NQA. Also, that will actually help the industry in terms of that. But what we have also realized is that we for the department, especially in areas like mineral economics, mine economics, we need to ensure that we enter into strategic partnership with mining companies, where some of our staff members, young staff members, can go and be placed there. We have started discussions with some companies, and they are more than willing to do that. I've discussed it with BHP Billiton. They are willing to do that. We engage others to ensure that we address this. So the issue here is that we need to train as many people as possible to flood the system. That is the heart of everything. And the issue of career guidance, we have programs which we have put in place in the department where we bring associated institutions, that is the state-owned enterprises, which are brought into us. We work with them. We work with the Council for Science. We work with Mintech, where we go out there to communities and inform them about this technical skills. I think I will ask DDG Corporate Services just to expand a little bit on the special programs when it comes to that.
Thank you, DG. Thank you, honorable members.
And community, touch the issues of communities.
Yes.
Which communities?
Yes. In terms of the communities, I heard you say maybe we concentrate on Devon and Gauteng, and that is not the case. In fact, we've been more in Limpopo, Northern Cape, and KZN for career guidance than anywhere else. In fact, the other day we were saying we are neglecting Gauteng in many, many things. And Gauteng also needs some development. So this next year, the focus also is going to be on Gauteng, because we've been in rural areas all the time. So when we say communities, we mean schools in those rural communities. Yes, we go to schools there and run those career guidance. Actually, they come on a Saturday. The children are very good. The students are good. They do come on a Saturday, and we provide food for them, and, you know, they do come. And it's just a small lunch for them, and then they do come for career guidance. But as I say, it's a two-legged program. It's for the schools, as well as for universities. Now, for universities, will be for your technical skills, your education, like mining engineering, and all the technical studies that have to be undertaken by students. So those are run by the HRD Directorate at universities. But then, as I said, the communities is actually rural areas for now, but there's going to be a shift to Gauteng as well.
The issue of revenue was raised, especially with regards to royalties. Currently, SAS is collecting royalties for new order rights in terms of the Royalty Act. And we are engaged with SAS on this matter. We will be transferring all the royalties to SAS. They will be responsible for collection of the remaining royalties, which are currently collected by the department in terms of the old order dispensation. I will touch on the issue of mine health and safety. Is there great improvement? I think David touched on it, and also maybe expand also on some of the issues which are involved is in the MQA in terms of skills development of their leaders.
Thank you, DG. Yes, we agree that although there's been some improvement, as Honorable Khunwa indicated, there's still a concern that there's a loss of life, and we are greatly concerned as well. We do have plans, including which are outlaid in our strategic, the department's strategic plan as well, to support the significant and sustainable improvement. Our ultimate goal is zero harm in both health and safety. And also through the My Health and Safety Council, there is a plan in place. We have a strategic plan on how we should achieve that goal. Similarly, we are working on the summit commitments. The summit commitments of 2011, so it is to achieve the goal of zero harm for all. And similarly with MQA SDG has indicated, some of the programs are there to enhance health and safety. For instance, there is a program to train about 40,000 learner inspectors. Not learner inspectors, but health and safety representatives, my apology, which we've agreed upon in 2011. In fact, 2008, and also with the committee in 2011 summit. Ready to enhance that the workers themselves, they take their responsibility on health and safety. So we're continuing with the program through the MQA. And in terms of skills development, as DG had indicated, there are programs ready to support the sector. Our target is to issue 750 by that is a year on technical subjects, including mining, electrical, mechanical, engineering, geology, and also as Megamet has also indicated. We also have learnership programs as well, including the artisan programs that DG has indicated. We look at numbers of about 3,000 a year, both employed and unemployed. We also have an artisan aid program. An artisan aid, it has been estimated as about 15,000 artisans in the sector, and that they don't progress upwards. In other words, they don't become full artisans. So we have a program in place through the MQA to help those artisans ready to progress to the next level, which is being an artisan. We are working together with the sector. And my colleague Mekanet also spoke about what the department does on encouraging communities, the youth in the communities to go into mining. The MQA has similar programs as well, where we go to communities. In fact, the MQA has established currently about 6 regional offices to bring our programs closer to the communities, especially in the mining areas. There's one in the Free State, there's one in Mpumalanga, there's one in Limpopo, Sekukuni area, there's one in Northwest, the Rustenburg area, there's one in Katu, in the Northern Cape. So we'll be looking at all of them in the mining areas ready to bring, encourage the youth. We have a medicine science program in place as well to help both grade 11 and 12 students or pupils in the high schools to improve. In fact, last year it has been reported that some of those that we've helped have 16 distinctions or more as well. So it does help. And some of them goes to mining. We do have a program as well to support beneficiation. We work together with our colleagues on policy on how we can really improve. So there is that approach. DG allows on the asbestosis. On the asbestosis case, I think one thing that I just wanted to highlight is that, you see, the issue of the asbestosis cases is it really shows the challenge of previous exposure or the latency of exposure to either dust or whatever hazards. Because we don't have any asbestos mines in the country anymore. Although there might be dumps there that we are rehabilitating, but I don't think the level of dust produces is a lot. In fact, the last asbestos mine to erect was about 20 years ago. So basically what it shows is the latency period. In other words, the period that it takes for you to precipitate with the disease itself. You know, for each human it takes different time, but on average, for instance, on silicosis, they say it can take you 10 years or more to 12 years. But it depends on the human, on the person. The cases that have been cited are those that have been reported by the mines. So, if there are 19 cases, for instance, in 2012, those are the people who are currently looking at the mines. Through the mines' medical surveillance, it has been picked up that you do have traces of silicosis. The law requires you to report. The law also requires you to have a system of medical examination. In other words, when you go into a mine, you must be examined whether you have diseases or you are fit to work at the mine. If you work at the mine, you must also be examined whether you are overexposed or whatever. The measures that the mines are put in place are effective to prevent it. So those cases depend on the latency issue that I've referred to, Mr. Bigani. So, but I think overall you can say they are very low, though, as you indicated. They don't appear because of the other cases, but they are still mines are reporting. But we are seeing an encouraging improvement. I think that's also encouraging. So, thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Member. On the issue of jobs which have been created in the industry, these are real, real jobs. And I said in 2009, there were about 490,000 people employed in the industry. And by 2012, with over 524,000 people who are employed in the industry. These are real jobs on the mine. So certainly we have seen growth when it comes to it. Yes, in the past few months, there are challenges which we have experienced, but we are still above 500,000 when it comes to employment. Yeah. We have created a real jobs in the mining industry. And this is collaborated by the number of mines which have been established in the country. In 2004, we had 993 mines, and now we are at 1,539, 1,600 mines which are active in the country. There's been a significant serious growth when it comes to the mining industry. And I will say it here again, the main reason behind this was when the country came with a new legislation to open up the mining industry, it increased activity. Secondly, there are challenges which we are going to address. But when you look at what has happened, we see growth. And mining industry is not a static industry. It will never be a static industry. It will always have cyclical situations. In some time, in experiences, people might think that, hey, this is the worst. It has always been like that. And it will always be like that. Because it is driven by the economic situation which prevail at any moment. The issue of shale gas, what's going to happen? As I said, first step was to look at the situation. And we got experts, a team of experts. We drove it. Department drove the process. There's a report which is out there. People have looked at it. It assessed the resources of the country. It assessed the risks which will be faced when we embark in the process. And the second step was to augment the regulation. The framework has always been there in terms of exploitation of petroleum resources in South Africa. NPRDA is there. There are other laws, NEMA laws, NEMA is there, water laws there. The framework has always been there. All what has been done is to augment this framework through this regulation. That is what has happened. And if you look at the regulation, where are they focusing? They will be focusing on fracturing, on hydraulic fracturing, ensuring that those wells, the integrity of the wells, is maintained. That is the heart of this regulation which has been released. If you look at it in more detail, we have given people 30 days to comment on this regulation. We will then incorporate the comments of which we receive from the society, and then from there we will then publish the regulations again. That will be very important. But there will be public consultation during this process. People will be consulted on this matter. Once we have released the regulation, then the processes, internal processes in the department will kickstart in terms of processing the application. We have an action plan in place which we are going to work on, but we will also be informed by the public consultation. We will also be informed by comments which come in. Because government has always said that we have to ensure that we protect the environment. That is the objective of this process. Because the environment has been identified as the main risk, okay? Especially when it comes to groundwater. So people will comment on this issue. We look at the comments, then we'll be informed on how to proceed with this process. The issue of illegal mining certainly is a challenge. I think Chief Inspector of Mines has explained this. Legalizing them, there is that room to legalize illegal miners. But there are huge risks involved in legalizing illegal miners, especially when it comes to deep mines. Because some of them, you find that they go into these deep mines 1.5 kilometers from there. You have to ensure that the environment is safe. Someone must take the responsibility, because each and every mine which operates there, there is somebody who has got to take responsibility for what happens there in terms of safety, supporting, ensuring that proper procedures are followed. There is a huge risk there. Yes, maybe in commodities like sand, sand mining, then you could organize people to mine. And there are instances where you find that entrepreneurs are involved there. But the minute we, and our experience also is that illegal mining, especially where people go down this Uthuthu's Rand gold mines, is linked to illegal activities. If I was one there, you interact with the people there, you find that some of them don't even know who has employed them. You ask them, who has employed them, they don't even know. Okay. So there are syndicates which are involved in this process. So I would say that especially when it comes to gold mining around, in Welkom area, in the Gauteng area, I would be very cautious to try to legalize that environment. It's extremely risky. Even mines with resources, they struggle to maintain safety in their operations. What about people who don't have resources? It will be a challenging process for us. Okay. David, do you want to respond anything before you? Okay.
Thank you, DJ. I think the issue of illegal mining, as DJ indicated, there's a lot of criminal elements involved. There was an initiative by the department, for instance, I think about more than 10 years ago, that in Barberton area, there was illegal mining that was taking place in the Barberton area, in Mpumalanga, where the department tried to assist the illegal miners by establishing a formal organization for them with a coordinator to help them. But you see, the problem with illegal miners, because that program, we were paying them a salary every month. Now, they were used to getting 20,000 a week. Then you pay them 800 a month. Then it becomes a problem as well. Because now, most of them, they go into that field, as DJ has indicated, because they can illegally make money out of it. And that's why you find some of the workers, they moonlight, because they make more money. It's not like, yes, there's an element of unemployment, we already agree, but there's a huge element of criminal activities fueled by, illegal syndicates. So I think we have to also consider that. If DG there's other two iterations that safety. Honorable Ngele, I think we, on the issue of women on safety, we fully agree with you. We are also concerned as advocates. We have put measures in place. We are doing research through the Minority Safety Council. We have put in written directives to the mines as a department to look at this matter, and we monitor implementation of that. And also the issue of FOG, I fully agree with you. I know you normally are concerned about this. There are a wide variety of, including research, but we are seeing significant improvement. I think first, what is also important, we see a lot of change in attitudes, especially with the gold and platinum, because the gold and platinum mine, they will say, but we are deeper and whatever. But I can tell you now, there are mines that have been going for 6 months. In fact, mining groups, not the mine, only 6 months without those accidents or fatalities. And lastly, in terms of the issue of gold and coal, it has an unfortunate legacy as well. I mean, coal mines, one of the things that come into mind is their explosions that they have they used to lose 55 people per incident. So I think we acknowledge the good work that they have put in place. They are now comparing favorably with the USA in terms of performance, for instance. So we acknowledge the work that they do, although you can't compare it in gold in terms of risk. But they're putting a lot of effort in the coal sector, including dealing with fall of ground. This after their own reports and the fall of ground, but before they used to do that. So we see a lot of attitude change, even with the gold and platinum sector, especially from the top. And we believe that it will sustain if we become vigilant about it. But we are working together with the sector and the unions in this regard. Thank you.
Okay. The other one is the issue of women. In terms of the legislation, I think maybe you want to touch on this, Musa. Mine Health and Safety Act, to address this issue of women, because we realize that there's issue around protective clothing, okay, which is not there. That is why we are amending Mine Health and Safety Act to address this man. That act has actually gone to cabinet 2 weeks ago, and it will be also be released for public comment. Okay. The other issue is the issue of SAMRAD. I think we have improved when it comes to issues of processing applications. It's something which we always strive to do, especially because we wanted to also to address the perception that there are problems in terms of managing the sequences of applications in the department, like the issues of saying which application came first. And I think SAMRAD has addressed this matter, because currently, once you have launched the system, it's there, it's electronic. Somebody can say, I launched before this other one. I came at 8 o'clock, this other application came in 9 o'clock. So that whole matter has been resolved by SAMRAD. I think that is a huge achievement. The issues of double granting, they are no longer there, because SAMRAD is addressing it. No one can say, I came, okay, can argue and say, you process this application, I came before this one, because it is showing electronically. That is why SAMRAD, I'll say that it has improved the situation in the department. I'll ask DDG Rappel just to explain a little bit about the work of SAMRAD, what we have done in terms of this SAMRAD, especially in terms of ensuring that we bring in various modules into it.
Thank you, DG.
Members, can I really intervene? Can we pause for lunch now? For at least 30 minutes. And we come back. And we come back, because after our program is supposed to be ending at 6. It's a bit unfair the way we're starting to rush things now. And then you can finish off the presentation to your part and the remaining questions after lunch. Let's take a 15-minute break.